You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
From NBI Studios, this is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Ruff.
Ahoy, friends. Thank you for tuning in to Truth and Justice. You are listening to the Friday follow-up for Season 16, Episode 14. This week, we heard Bob sit down with a group of his students to discuss their podcast, Underestimated. Today, I'm joined by Bob Ruff and Janet Varney, and the three of us are here to answer your listener questions. But before we get into that, do we have any housekeeping?
No housekeeping other than, I guess it's not really housekeeping because it's on topic this week, but this Wednesday, this is the day we're recording this, we're hearing this on Friday, Episode 2 of the Skelton Brothers series on the Underestimated podcast just dropped. It's a banger. They're doing a great job. The rest of the students are all in a race to see who gets to go next right now, whose series is going to come out next. I'm really pulling for the Jeanette Robertson case, but I don't know. I had to tell them at this point, there's that one and then the Missing in East Lansing, which they're calling Voiceless.
Mm-hmm.
That group that was Gracie.
I'm pulling for Stephen Craft. I want to hear the Stephen Craft story.
That one too. They're a little further
they're
behind. I don't think
stories.
They're going to win the race.
They're all going to be so good. It's hard to. I mean, yeah. I want them all now.
Yeah, I got Gracie and Chelsea, the two team leaders from those two that are both like right there. They're both ready to go next. And I'm like, at this point, whoever finishes your music on your first episode first, you're it. That's it. That's what we're going to do.
All right. I'm going to jump in and ask you something before we get started.
Okay.
So the podcast came out, kind of blew up. Went up to like 46 on the charts, right?
Nay. It hit number 37 on the charts.
It hit number 37 on the charts. Even
that
cooler.
That is awesome.
How did the kids react to that?
They are so pumped, especially when I explained to them. They're like, holy cow, 37? Like, they're like, is that good? I'm like, do you know that there's 2 million podcasts in that category? And you're ranked number 37 out of them? And I was like, if you look underneath you, there's me. Right there is Nancy Grace's podcast. There's True Crime Garage. There's like all the, like, you're ranked above all those. Yeah, so they're super excited.
That's so incredible.
And any of you guys that haven't gone on to Underestimated and left them a review, please do that, because that'll help them, because we're really hoping. I want to see them get into the new and noteworthy section.
Mm-hmm.
And I would so love to see them, even if it's for a day, get into the top 10, and I think they can do it. They're getting lots of downloads, lots of reviews.
It's super awesome, and also, like, you're setting these kids up for failure because now they're going to go, we just put out a podcast and it goes to number 1. It's not a big deal. That's easy. I could do that.
Yeah, well, they did do it. So they probably could.
No,
yeah.
That's awesome. Good for them. Good for them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. These kids are amazing. They're super excited about the success, you know, and yeah, it's just going really well. Everything is going great. I can't say enough good about them. And as you guys heard, I'm sure in that episode, like, these kids, they touch my heart. Their heart in what they're doing is so incredible to me. Mm-hmm. The audio didn't do justice the complete breakdown that I had in the room when, you know, you heard, you couldn't hear it quite as well, but, you know, when Alexander was talking about what was motivating her, she started to crack up about it, mm-hmm. you know, like to break, you know, to break down a little bit about it. Lexi, absolutely. By the time Lexi lost it, I was sobbing, sobbing during it. It's just like, these are, you know, I love them all like they're my own kids, and just watching them have their success. And the big thing to me is like that kind of heart out of such, you know, a group of young people that, you know, that is as genuine and as real as you can get, that the thing that is so important to them is that these victims have their voices heard.
Yeah.
And that and that their stories be heard and that they not be forgotten. And for me as a teacher, like I just, it's like if I played even a small role in helping them recognize that in the true crime space in general, in the way, whether they're ever going to do it anymore after this or not, then I feel like I really accomplished something, you know, above and beyond how good the podcast is and what they're ranked. It's like that it really, you know, they're really being impacted by the work that they're doing. They're just incredible young adults.
Oh, it's beautiful and pure. It really is. And I brought up the number. It doesn't matter. The number truly doesn't matter if they're out there making a change.
No, it matters.
But it's a really cool benefit, really cool bonus, really neat to see for those kids.
Yeah. I was showing them today. We started going through the analytics because my principal, Mr. Winkler, came in and was just asking how things were going. We're in the middle of class. And I was like, yeah. I said, I didn't even look, but they're probably all over the place. So the kids were gathered around. We were going through the analytics. I'm like, they're listening in Australia. I don't remember how many countries there were, but they're one of the girls, Gracie. She's like, she has friends that she like games with in Lithuania. And I'm like, go through. I'm like, yep, we got listens in Lithuania. We got listens like everywhere, all over the world.
So cool.
So there's that kind of that moment too, where they're like super excited because, you know, people from all over the world are hearing their voices. And then they're also like, wait, people all over the world are hearing my voice. That's scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Very
it's
much
a lot
so.
To take in. Yeah, and during like the editing process too, it's funny to hear like the same thing we've all gone through first time we get recorded and you hear your voice back to you. Like I've had to talk to all of them and tell them, like, they're like, I hate my voice. What's wrong with my voice? Da, 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 da. I'm like, listen, you're not alone. And this is not just like you don't like your voice. It's like literally a medical thing, an anatomical thing. The vibrations from your voice that go up to your ear, you literally hear your voice differently than everyone else hears it. So when you hear it recorded, it sounds different and it freaks you out. So like I'm trying to like bring everybody down because nobody likes the way they sound when they're recorded.
But don't you feel like you've gotten used to that? Like now I can't, like I don't even notice it anymore. It's just just by virtue of like, now I can't, now it does sound the same to me, even though I know.
Yeah, me too.
Like it shouldn't,
but also,
how
much time do we spend with monitor headphones on?
No, that's true.
You know, so it changes things a little bit.
It does.
But that's what I told him. Like after a while, but it's the first time, the first time you hear.
Oh yeah, I mean, I definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, it is strange. I mean, that's something that I noticed after doing it, after just doing my podcast before.
Yeah.
Where it was like there was a time period where like I eventually just heard myself. That's how I hear myself. Is how I actually sound.
Yeah.
And it was very strange to me.
Yeah. I keep telling them, they're like, I hate the sound of my voice, and I do the same thing I did to Erica that time, and they'll be like, I hate the sound of my voice. I'm like, well, that's how you sound. like, you understand? That's how we hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they all have wonderful voices. And
they really do. They're
so well spoken. I'm loving the podcast. I saw this morning as I was getting ready to go shoot something, I absolutely had something else I should have been doing. And instead, when I saw that the Underestimated podcast had dropped a new episode, I was like, nope, that other thing's going to have to wait. I'm going to find something to do that allows me to listen to this episode. It's terrific. And then they're really getting results, which we hear about, of course, in the interview that you do with the group leaders, that they've had, like, even just the burden of too much information. Like, there's no such thing as too much information, but that, you know, that anecdote about like we had everything written out and felt like we were in pretty good shape. That seems like something that would happen to me as like a type
happens
A
to me all the
kid.
Time.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, I guess I'm in pretty good shape, doing a good job, kind of out in front of this thing. And then you get an onslaught of just like super valuable, important stuff. And you're like, wow, this is obviously wonderful, but
I guess I'll just throw this in the trash. Yeah. I'll just start
great
over.
Rehearsal. Great first draft, guys.
I want to answer this question in the chat from CC because we didn't have one about
it. Yeah, I'm glad that you saw that too.
Yeah, so CC in the chat asks, they say they're just curious if the class is all girls, It's not, but it's pretty close. And this is something I feel like I meant to talk about this at some point and I hadn't yet. So I think it's a good opportunity to discuss this. No, the class is, so there's two different classes and there's 18 in each class. And in the 6th hour is all girls and 7th hour, there are 2 boys in that class. So it's primarily girls, but there are 2 boys and they're both in the Jeanette Robertson group. So when you hear that series come out, you'll hear their voices a little bit more. But I just want to talk a little bit about, because someone somewhere, maybe it was on social media, had asked or something like that, and I meant to talk about it. But I think that's one of the cool things that our school district, the Brandywine School District here, did is you know, several years back, the administration, all the way from the superintendent on down, said, we want to create opportunities for kids outside of just going to college, you know, the other career paths for them. And that's what CTE programs are, career and technical education classes. And so they started adding to them. You know, a lot of schools might have 1 or 2, and our superintendents, like, we want to have as many as possible, right? So they have the wood shop and the auto shop and the CNC and the mechanical drafting. They have all those classes. But what they noticed is that in those classes, even though, like, you know, girls are welcome and encouraged to take them too, the enrollment is like 96% male in all of those classes. So that's kind of part of the reason the broadcasting program got created, was because they wanted to make sure that we had career and technical education classes options available for something that the girls in the school might be interested in, because it seems that they're not in large numbers interested in those other career paths. And again, I want to stress, like, they can all, and actually when Stephanie and Gracie went with me to speak in front of the school board about our class, the student that spoke about the wood shop was one of the girl students in there, one of the female students in there. And she's like one of the stars in that class. Mm-hmm. But it was just like in numbers, a lot of girls didn't want to do that stuff. And so they felt like there weren't any CTE options within our school for them to do. So that's, you know, they kind of brainstormed about it and they came up with, what if we do this broadcasting course, you know, and offer that and see if that's something that will give them these opportunities. And it has. So my classes across, I have 6 classes, and across my 6 classes, I have 5 boys out of all the classes. So it's literally the exact flip-flop opposite of all the trades classes, where I have like 95% girls and 5 boys compared to the other way around. So, yeah. You know, thanks for asking that, Cece. But I just want to highlight, because that's just some of the, I really love the district that I'm working for, and I love like the things that are pushing them and motivating them, and how they encourage us to really connect with the students, from my principal to the superintendent all the way up. But that was just one of the things that I thought was cool, that they intentionally made a point to make sure that those opportunities were available.
Yeah, it was actually me, I think. I mean, it was me, unless you had already had that conversation with someone else, that I was texting with you, and I said, it's interesting to me. Like, I was sort of looking for the context, because I said, you know, we, for those of us who sort of are in the true crime space, we know it's, and sometimes
that's where the conversation was
joked about. Is sort of joked about that it's all these very compassionate women who are. So I was trying to figure out, like, which came first. And you told me that and said also, like, they didn't have to pick what they, you know, it wasn't even like, this is a true crime class. It wasn't that at all. It's just like, that's kind of how everything ended up shaking out.
Yeah, the 3 classes were framed as the introduction to broadcasting, advanced broadcasting, and investigative journalism. Like, nowhere in there did it say it was going to be true crime.
Yeah.
So the true crime aspect is not what drew these students in.
Yeah, they're so great. You warned us that it was going to get emotional, and I knew that it was. But then it felt like you got deep enough in that I got a false sense of security, and I was like, I think I'm good.
Yeah.
This is great. I'm just enjoying this so much. And for me, that means I'm probably going to start crying before anyone else does. So I was getting a little misty-eyed before anything, but I was like, I got this. And then the real stuff came in, and I was like, oh, no, no, no. This is killing me in the best way.
Yeah, Erica did such a fantastic job of cleaning that up, too. Because I think it was super emotional, but also it was it would have been a rough listen. Because there was 5 minutes of us, like, collecting ourselves in there when it was like, okay, and then me telling them, don't you tell those other yahoos in here, I'm in here crying. she cleaned all that stuff up. But then I thought, too, I don't know.
I think she left that in the episode. That particular...
Oh, was that still in there?
That particular line, I think, was in the episode.
I think that's true.
Um,
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
But yeah, I don't know. I just, you know, as we get older and priorities change and stuff like that, it was just like everything. I just kind of had a moment, not only in the room, but then I went back and listened to it after Erica did all the editing work on it. And it was like, I don't know. I really love the fact that that was an interview with high school students that are doing all this amazing work. And you got to really hear where their heart's at and where it's coming from. And it was the music in the episode was created by an 18-year-old student. And the editing was done by an 18-year-old former student, you know, like from like everything. It's like just that whole idea of there being like this generation, like moving forward and you know, moving their way up the, I don't want to say up the ladder. I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but it's just, I just think it's cool that there's like another generation that's coming along that is far more capable than people give them credit for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we have a lot of questions that came through from our listeners who are very interested in this whole project and interested in how it's been coming along and what they can expect. And also, like, yeah, some kind of behind the scenes stuff that isn't necessarily something that you guys talked about or that will come up in the kids podcast in Underestimated. But like, for example, Kathy says, just in terms of the experience they've had so far, do they feel encouraged or discouraged to go into investigative journalism? Is the investigative part encouraged any to go to law school, law enforcement, you know, criminal justice, anything like that?
Yeah, it's had, so there are two students in particular that did not have this as like a career path plan for them that are both like all in now. Like this is what they want to do. It's not necessarily like podcasts, but be investigative journalists. They really, really enjoy it. As a matter of fact, both of them are juniors and they're going to be back as seniors next year. And they're both really good students, so they have room in their schedule. So they were able to set up like a work-based learning opportunity where they're going to be, our school doesn't do like teacher's assistants, but they're going to do like, they're taking the investigative journalism class again, but then they're also going to be interning for me as a teacher in like 2 other hours where they can be there to help me with the other students and to continue to work the work that they're doing because they just really wanted to. Then as again, like I keep kind of praising our district, but that was one of the things, like when I went to the counselor, I'm like, these two are really into this. They want to do it for a career. I don't know how to make this work, but can we make it work? If they want to be in here doing this work, I want to make that available to them. And they like managed to come up with a way to make that happen for
next
year. That's
great. That is absolutely great.
There was one student who, Stephanie actually, who was on the podcast. She was really thinking she wanted to be a detective. And it's been interesting experience with her. She goes above and beyond all the time. Like, she's the one that in her other classes, if she has, you know, free time, she comes, she's always in my room. She comes back and it's not just like to hang out. It's, hey, I know we got all these ads to do. Can I pull some of those and write ad copy for them? Can I help contact people? She's always working, helping. She loves the work. But she kind of got like, through we've had such in-depth conversations, she's like, she wanted to be a detective, but she's also learned a little bit more about like law enforcement and how that works. And also like the steps you got to go through to get to, because we've actually talked to detectives and like what that process looked like. And she's like, she's decided through the process that she's like, I would love to be a detective, but I don't want to be like a beat cop. Like, I don't want to do that. And I don't want to spend 10 years doing that. So it's actually caused her to shift into, she has, I think she's looking at like going into like anesthesiology or something now. So it's kind of a weird way that this affected her because it kind of pushed her away from what she was doing.
Interesting.
But the way I look at it is she could have like went to college to go be a detective, you know, to be a cop and spent 4 years in college and got out and only to find out that she's got to spend 10 years being a beat cop and she hates it.
Yeah.
But now because of this process, she knows what that looks like and she knows that's not what she wants to do.
Yeah.
She's going the other route, but she's another one that's like, but I may also get like a criminal justice degree and try to be like, you know, shift into being like a private investigator or something down
the road. Or the FBI or something like that, where you're not, you don't go through that beat cop process, but you could still end up as an investigator. That's cool. I mean, I think that's great. I think understanding earlier that there may be pieces of the process that maybe aren't for you is incredibly helpful, as is just seeing all of those doors open, of those doors of possibility. And that's so exciting. And I'm so, so proud. I'm so proud of you. And I want to meet them all.
Yeah, I told them. You, come on out. You can coach them. They need a voice coach.
Well, Veronica, this is extending out, unsurprisingly, a natural extension. You've already answered that. You know, we've got the couple of gals that are going to be coming in and interning and all that good stuff. Obviously, we have Erica behind the scenes already at Truth and Justice. So Veronica's wondering, are you going to hire more of them after they graduate to be a part of Truth and Justice?
If I had more jobs for them to do, I would. But yeah, I mean, right now my business does not have the capacity right now to hire more people. But yeah, certainly like any of them that are really, because there's some of them that are getting really into like the editing. I was talking about earlier in the pregame about the editing and the music and things like that. And so those are skill sets where I can connect them with, you know, other, you know, big, you know, I have friends, you know, guys like Patrick Hines who, you know, he runs a big podcast studio. It's like maybe they're looking for an editor or somebody to help them with music, people to help in from my other classes too, help with social media. So we have those kind of connections for them right here, right now. I don't think Erica's ready to give up her job for somebody else. So I think we're good for the moment.
Fair enough. Ari, who is a fellow high school teacher who teaches math. Awesome. Thank you for doing what you're doing as well. Super proud of your kids. Says Ari, and is also wondering a little more on just kind of how the groups were chosen. Was it random? Did they pick their own groups? Do they all have the same number of students?
They're not all exactly the same. So this is the way we did it, is when I started the class and I explained to them, you know, you need to pick a real world issue that you can investigate over the course of a year and make a podcast about. And you're going to investigate it and try to make some sort of progress in it. That was the assignment. And then they spent about 2 weeks all researching different things, different case. All of them tended to go towards true crime stuff, like unsolved cases and missing persons cases. And they spent a couple weeks. First, they went through and we put a list on the board, and everybody that found something they thought was interesting, that was, everybody had to give me one thing, right? So we had on our big whiteboard, we had, you know, 36 things up there. And then as they went through them, then I had the students go up and everybody that wrote them up there give a quick little elevator pitch about what this thing is and why they want to do it. And then like as a group, we kind of said like, how many of these can we start to cross off the list that we don't want to do? The process was it went well. Meaning like even the person who like wrote it on the board, as we would discuss it with the class, you know, people are like, well, I think we're going to have this issue or this issue. And some of the things I was able to tell them, I'm like, listen, that's really interesting, but it's been done to death in the media already. And we're going to have these roadblocks getting any information. So they'd be like, yeah, we'll cross this one off. So we started narrowing it down. And then we got to, I don't remember, I think we got down to about 10 of them. And then those 10 students, I had them, okay, research it another step further and come up with, you need to tell me, you know, the details of the case, what path forward you think you can investigate, what access do you think we'll have to information, and what do you think you can accomplish in this case? What would you hope to accomplish? And they all went up and like literally pitched to the class. They all got like 10 minutes to pitch to the class which cases they wanted to do. And then we narrowed it down to, after we did all that, we got down to the five. There was five different cases that we had up there. And then once we had the five, we put those up on the board. And then we went through the room and said, which case are you interested in? And, you know, I thought we had to do a little juggling around to see who got into which case. But the way it worked out, it was pretty even. It was like there were six students that were really interested in this case. There was five that wanted to do this one. There were six that wanted to do this one. And so they all have between like five and six people. One group has seven people.
Gotcha. Well, that's interesting because Julia, that's actually was where Julia's head was going, was kind of wanting to better understand each group's goal. She touches on, you know, the conversation that you had with everybody where it became about making sure that people's voices are heard. You talked a little bit about it earlier in this episode, but are there pie in the sky goals for any of the groups? Like, you know, we absolutely want to solve this, or we want to see the guilty person, you know, adjudicated.
Yeah. So they're all, none of them are wrongful convictions. We did look at several, Gracie in particular looked at several wrong, because Gracie does actually listen to my show. So she's really into the wrongful conviction stuff. And she just, but it was like the ones we found kind of went through the same screening process I go through. She kept finding like, I don't think this one's going to work. This person seems guilty. And so she's the one, her group is the one that is doing the three missing persons cases. And so like for her group, her goal is, you know, she wants to, one, make sure that those voices are heard, that they're not forgotten about. A little bigger goal is perhaps by broadcasting this, because none of the cases have ever been widely broadcast and talked about, that maybe there's a witness somewhere, someone who knows something, like just by getting it out in the public's eye, that maybe we can, you know, get a break in the case. And then also she has a theory that they've been working on, that some of these cases were possibly connected. And so we're hoping to be able to make, you know, something like Alex Campbell did at this school down in Tennessee with Murder 101, that if we can like give some feedback to law enforcement and say, hey, we found this connection and this connection, perhaps that can help them solve the case. And the Stephen Kraft case is something similar. They're hoping, you know, he's a missing person, been missing for, gosh, how many years now? It's been
2001, so 24 years.
Yeah, 24 years ago, that maybe we can find another witness in that, but also by talking to, nobody really knows much about it because they've never released any documents and we haven't heard from a lot of family. They've been doing a really good job of like talking to family members, talking to witnesses, talking to other people in the community. They've come up with, I'm excited for them to come out with it because they've come up with a theory on that case that I don't think was ever really addressed before.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And a lot of that has to do, and I know I'm getting ahead of myself because there's somebody I already asked this question, but Jim Clementi came in and talked to them about behavioral analysis, and they were using the skills that Jim taught them. And, you know, they was just one day, it was actually Lexi is the one that was at my desk, and she's like, well, wait a minute, what about, and I don't want to give it away, but it was like, if this and this was happening, maybe everybody's looking over here.
Oh my
gosh. But what if it was over here? Jim's work also influenced the Jeanette Robertson case. That's the one I've been talking about for months and months. That is just so interesting and it's so frustrating to me. It almost feels to me like I have felt for years about like the Delphi case. Like, how is this not solved?
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, for the 7 years we were waiting on the Delphi case, and you know, their goal is to find the killer there, and they're hoping, and we've already had just from the news, because they got a lot of press on that case when they went up to up to Reed City. They were featured on a news program out of Grand Rapids and several newspaper articles. We've already had people contact us with tips just from seeing the news broadcast. Yeah. So, and again, they're using some of the skills that Jim gave them. They developed a different profile in the theory than anybody was ever looking at before. We actually discussed that with the lead detective in the case, and it was a really interesting conversation. Mm. Yeah. And in the course of the Skelton brothers, the big thing with the Skelton brothers is they're just hoping to find the boys, you know, figure out where they're at. And of course, we're not out, you know, but, you know, if it was just me doing this, if it was Zach and I doing this, you know, we'd be in the truck, boots on the ground. We'd be out, you know, searching places and stuff like that. Obviously, they're not able to do that. But they're, again, I don't want to give it away because it was in today's episode. It was on this Wednesday's episode. Like, they made some progress in getting some people to speak. So
yeah,
we'll see how that goes. But yeah, well, they're big thing is they want to be able to walk away with this and know that we did something to positively impact this case.
Yeah.
Whether that's awareness, whether that's solving it, whether that's finding someone, bringing forth a new witness to do something positive.
Yeah. Well, just to bring it back to the Skelton brothers for a moment, since that's the episodes that have been released so far, it's a very troubling, it's a very upsetting, it's very disturbing case because of who the prime and only suspect is, as far as I understand, and, you know, the ages of the boys, and it's upsetting. And so, you know, Giovanna is wondering, like, what kind of mental health considerations are being, you know, what's being done for these teens? Are they reviewing, like, horrible details? That's kind of a subjective word, but very fair. Details of crime scenes. Are they seeing the crime scene photos? You know, they're still very young. Like, how are you approaching all of that? Because I'm sure you're doing it with care.
Yeah, we definitely are. And I saw another part of Giovanna's question was, you know, what are we doing to keep the kids safe as far as, like, interviewing people, right? Witnesses and stuff like that. So I'll address that first. That part's easy. Anybody that they've interviewed, is either someone that comes into the school, and we actually have them fill out, it's our volunteer form, but it's a background check. So they do background checks, they come into the school. We've had one instance where we actually went to someone's house to interview them, and that was an extensive process. And it was nobody, it was the son of a suspect in one of the cases who was, you know, 3 years old at the time this thing happened. Mm-hmm. I know him, our assistant principal knows him, but even still, like, I went out there twice to meet with him and talk to him and check out the property. We had him and his wife do the background checks, all of that. And then we went out with it to make sure there was adults there with them. So, you know, all the safety precautions we take there. And then the Reed City trip, again, there was, you know, it was all in, everything was in public with me there, right there with them at the time. And, you know, so that part's pretty easy. Mm-hmm. Like, we just don't let them. As a matter of fact, we had in the Stephen Kraft case, those students just found a new witness in that case that we haven't heard from before. And we arranged with him because, you know, he was like, well, I'm available these times. And so, you know, I talked to him like, listen, I don't want to take the kids all the way there to do, is there any chance we can arrange a time for you to come into the school? Mm-hmm. He was able to, same thing, fill out the volunteer form, background check and stuff. And he comes into the school to do it. As far as the mental health side of it, first of all, no, they haven't seen any graphic crime scene photos, anything like that. At the beginning of the semester, we started out with, you know, it was very, very clear to the students the type of content. Because even though it's not crime scene photos, you're still reading about, spending a lot of time with some very horrific circumstances. So, you know, we made that, and we did have a few, like, after, you know, one of them is a student I had from last year, love her to death. She still comes in my room every day before school to say hi. But, you know, after we had those first couple of meetings, we're like, this is what this class is going to involve. And she just came to me. She's like, Mr. Ruff, I don't think I can do that. I'm like, good don't do it. We don't want you in here.
Good for her.
And then we also relate all that to the parents, both verbally and written. You know, there's a whole disclaimer in our syllabus that they had to read and sign and understand, like, you're okay with a couple things. One being that you're okay with them being exposed to this kind of content. Mm-hmm. Two, that they're okay with their voices being heard out in the public and their first names being, you know, available out to the public. So there's been, you know, we had to work with the parents on that to make sure that the students, because this is very unique. No one's ever done anything like this before. And then any of the FOIA requests they file, like, so they, like, we have, we're still waiting on one of the cases to come in. Matter of fact, the state police just sent us, there's going to be another 30 days before they're going to send it. We're expecting a big packet of crime scene photos to come with that. When those come in, they come to me. I go through them first, but just like with all the other FOIA requests, and I make sure that there's no content there that is anything that I don't think the kids should be seeing, particularly when it comes to photos and stuff like that. And even, you know, as far as content with transcripts and things like that. And then it's just a constant communication with them. And these kids are open. You know, I've had kids who are like, this is really disturbing me. I'm like, okay, then let's take a break from that. And we have social workers and counselors on site if we need anybody that has to have somebody to talk to about it. We haven't got to that point, but we would make sure we let the kids know that that's available to them at any time. And you know, I encourage it. I have a very... We were just joking before we started the show about how, you know, one of my students had just emailed me tonight with a overly friendly email. We were kind of joking around in the email, but like I really try to have a personal connection with every one of my students that are in that class to where they're comfortable sharing with me how they're feeling and how they're doing and stuff like that. So it's a tricky line to toe, but so far, so good.
Well, and I would just say, and I appreciate that. And I think Giovanna's question was so important. And I'm really, really glad that we got a chance to address it. So thank you for that, Giovanna, because I've had the same thought. I would also say I was their age before there was like, you know, or just a preponderance of information available on the internet mm-hmm. at the tap of my fingers. I think, and this is just an opinion, and I'm not a mom, and I'm not a teenager. But when I think about the kind of stuff I was interested in and what I got my hands on when I was that age without anyone knowing, because I wouldn't tell anyone because I didn't want anyone to freak out that I was, you know, interested in true crime or whatever, I sort of like that it's happening in a controlled environment because so mm-hmm. much about what teenagers have access to these days is not. And I think having, it's like if you're interested in it, what a great opportunity to do it the right way with people who are more mature than you, who are looking out for you and making it an activity that you're not, you know, alone or like you and your friend are just going to the library looking up something about Ted Bundy or whatever. You know, I just appreciate that. I think it's better. It's kind of like, you know, it's sort of like if you're going to, I don't want you to drink, but if you're going to drink, I'd rather you do it here because I don't want you getting in a car and driving. Like
right.
that sort of thing is, and it's also potentially contributing towards society in a meaningful way. So,
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
And yeah. there's also this element of, in that controlled environment, learning that, you know, that there are dangers in the world. These are real things. Like, just the realization when, like, when the Jeanette Robertson group went up and, like, sat down with Jeanette's sister and talked to her. And, like, that really, like, those emotions you heard in Sunday's episode, like, that's, like, they're realizing these are real people, these stories that we're here. Cause a lot of them are into true crime and, you know, they're watching documentaries and they're, sure. you know, they're listening to podcasts and they're doing things like that. But to see like, this is not, you know, they're not going to look at it the same anymore. They understand like these are real people. These aren't stories. These are real people with real feelings. And I mean, I think it's been very, I had one of my students, dad grab me at the basketball game last night. She's one of the stars on the girls, which by the way, the girls, on Tuesday night, they won their quarterfinal game, and tomorrow on Thursday they are playing for the semifinals for the state.
Yes, go Lady Cats! Go Lady Cats!
But I was working with my other students that are in one of my other classes that are filming the games, and he grabbed me just to tell me, you know, how much his daughter's enjoying it, and how much he appreciates the class and stuff. And I had never met him before, So I just love it. And then I was sitting with, you know, another student's parents for a few minutes talking about it. So it's been cool. Like most of the, you know, the parents that have made an effort to talk to me, like they're really happy about the impact that it's had on their kids.
Ugh, I love that. Ben says, and by the way, we've gotten so many, almost every single post has had like a nice, you know, congratulations or great work to the kids, great work to you compliment. So if I've omitted that, it's just because we had so very many, which was lovely. But Ben says it's inspiring, it's a great episode. But he says, I'm not even sure if this makes sense without a Bob Ruff type at each school. But how can other high schools set up and offer a similar course? Would it be sufficient to provide the curriculum for the course and potentially a how-to guide? I would love to see this type of course offered in every high school across the U.S. and Canada, perhaps North America. You're going big. Ben's going big.
Yeah.
And ideally, a little bigger around the world.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you'd have to have, I think a lot of different people with a lot of different backgrounds could do this. Obviously, you have to have some background in media and production and stuff like that, but also somebody who has a background in investigative work. That's the thing about CTE classes, like the way, like in case you guys don't realize, I don't have a teaching license. There are provisions for career and technical education teachers that if you have, you know, so many years of industry experience, then that can qualify you to teach those classes at the high school level. So a lot of it comes down to, you know, it has to start with the administration having the motivation to want to create the class. And then you really have a lot of flexibility. So for me, like I'm listed under just the broadcasting, like TV and radio broadcasting is like my SIP code, they call it, that I teach under. And then within that, as long as I'm hitting all the different benchmarks that they require those to hit, I can kind of create the classes however I want. So someone absolutely could. I would certainly be happy to help anybody with. As a matter of fact, just today, my principal called me because he got a voicemail from someone from a school from a county over that was listening to the podcast that wanted to talk about how they can create a class like mine in there. So I'm going to be working with them. And I want to make sure I give credit where credit is due. This class for me, Alex Campbell was that person for me from the Murder 101 podcast.
Sure.
Alex, when, you know, I had him on the show when I heard the podcast, yeah. he taught a high school class that started working, and it was a sociology class that we're working on solving this series of murders. And I interviewed him and I talked to him and I was like, man, I would love to find a way to fit this into what I do. And that's, you know, I came up with investigative journalism, but Alex is actually on our advisory board. He comes to all of our meetings.
Nice.
Yeah. And he is so I guess what I'm getting at is I would always be happy to pay that forward. I'm still learning. I'm still, you know, next year's class will look a little different than this one. There's some things I'm doing right, some things I'm doing wrong, but Alex has been there to help me all along the way. So I'm happy to do the same and try to pass some of that knowledge onto another school if anybody ever wants to get into it. You don't need a Bob Ruff. I don't even know if I'm the best guy to do it. I'm just a guy that is doing it.
Yeah.
We need that Alex Campbell Bob Ruff seminar.
There you go.
Yeah. Maybe. There's my retirement job. Me and Alex will both retire from teaching and just go travel the world.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
No, I couldn't do it. That'd be like me going from being a fireman to being a fire chief and realizing, wait a minute, I'm not doing the thing that I like doing anymore.
Yeah.
That's just like my dad. My dad, same thing. High school teacher. They kept trying to give him, you know, administrative jobs with raises and like put him in charge of the districts and all that. And he's just like, why would I do that? I want to be with the kids. Are you crazy?
Right. Yeah.
You want to pay me more? Great. But like, I'm staying with the kids.
Paycheck.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then Ben also wanted to clarify, just in case anyone else has this question, is everything is going to be released under the Underestimated podcast. So that's the feed where you're going to get everything, right? He says at least one group made a reference to a different podcast name. So he just wanted to make sure like it's all coming under one umbrella, right?
Yeah, and that'll be our continued feed for next year and so on and so forth. So the Underestimated podcast is Brandywine High School's investigative journalism podcast feed. And then within the feed, there'll be different. So what we did is we had them, each group has their own logo art. So there's like the main one that you see, the Underestimated podcast, but then each group has their own. So when those episodes drop, so you can kind of differentiate them, they'll have their own logo. So within that feed, so the first three episodes of this season are the Skelton Brothers. The next three will be a different case. The next three will be a different case and a different group, obviously. And then the idea is that we're going to circle back before the year is over. We're hoping to get at least two more. We're starting to run out of time pretty quickly, as the seniors reminded me, because they get out a few weeks earlier than the rest of the class. They're like, Mr. Ruff, you know that we've only got 6 weeks left, right? So yeah, we're hoping to get all that stuff buttoned up by then. But yeah, so everything will be on this feed.
Great. Fantastic. Well, Rosalyn is very thankful for the hard work that your students are doing. On our Facebook page, she shared a very heartfelt, tragic story about her own grandfather going missing for almost 10 years, only for his son to eventually find his bones while riding an ATV in the desert. And she points out how important the type of work that these students are doing can be, and that, you know, getting that extra attention, depending on where it's coming from. But if the, you know, if that can help impact cases and things that get overlooked, or things that, you know, law enforcement doesn't have enough time for, she feels that something like that really probably could have helped in her situation.
Yeah, it was a heartbreaking story on there that you know, when they finally found the remains of her grandfather. Yeah, and that's the whole thing is, right? So that if one of these groups is able to drum up one tip that helps bring some closure to one of these cases, like, that will just be absolutely incredible. I do want to address Chris in the chat said that the class seems like there's more of an emphasis on investigating over journalism. Not really. There's, when you hear more of the episodes, you hear, and you're hearing bits and pieces of like the interviews and stuff. So yes, it's definitely, but this is truly how investigative journalism works, right? So they're spending a lot of time investigating files and trying to piece stuff together. And but then they're also taking that information and figuring out how do we move forward from here beyond what's on the paper? And so they're finding like witnesses to contact, creating interviews. And then they're also going through the process, which Janet, I'm sure you're familiar with it. But even from like a documentary standpoint, where they're like literally creating beat sheets where it's like, okay, we have the script. Where we have, even though I've already spoken with this witness a couple of times, now I have my script where I'm talking about this, this, and this. So I need to get that witness to talk about this thing so I can get their perspective on it. And so they're planning that out and they're putting it all into storyboards and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, that's why it's not just a journalism class, it's an investigative journalism class, because that's all part of it.
Yeah, that's really hard. So I commend them for like each piece, quite frankly, of, you know, however you want to think about this type of work, like if it's a tree with branches or a wheel with spokes, each piece is hard in and of its own. It is hard to edit. It is hard to, for many of us who aren't, you know, brilliant musicians, imagine composing a theme. It's hard to figure out the order in which it makes sense to tell stories. And you've been very transparent about that. When you get ready to start a season, like I remember we talked a lot about that for the Pinyon Pines cases, like where do I start? Because you always have 50 options and there isn't necessarily one that is the right and only answer. So it's very subjective. And so picking those moments and figuring out, and then having groups that all have different, potentially different opinions, or as one of the girls said, like people are afraid to maybe have an opinion because they haven't been given that power yet. You know, all of that is like, it's a lot of work. And so I'm really impressed, and I can understand why they would be frazzled.
Well, we were just talking in the pregame about just the technical part of it, right? So where they're at now, the scripts are written, the episodes are recorded, the interviews are recorded, they're editing and putting it together. Like that process, like the one group, the Jeanette group, just Chelsea and Stephanie's group, you know, their episodes are going to have a lot of, they have a ton of audio assets, right? So there's going to be a lot of like drop-ins. So like, first, they had to figure out what goes where, but then it's a matter of, okay, somebody's got to edit the basic edit on the 4-track recording to take out all the retakes and adjust the timing. And then once that's done, then we got to make adjustments for where does the music going to go. And then you got to find, okay, we need audio of this, this, and this, and then passing that to somebody else, like go back to the interview with Lana. I need the part in there where she talks about this, and finding that and editing, and then somebody else editing that in there.
Yeah.
And then putting the music in. It's like, there's so many steps, and that's all. The thing about when it becomes journalism, it means you're taking all of your work and somehow putting it into a medium where you can deliver that to an audience. That's what the journalism piece of it is. Whether it's, you know, a written piece or a podcast or a documentary or a news broadcast. So yeah, like for the last, especially the last like 2 or 3 months, it's been all about the journalism part of it. Like, how do you take that work you did and now turn it into a story in a medium that you can deliver to an audience?
Yeah, that's great. Well, from a journalism perspective, and the fact that, again, they are having to, you know, they're putting themselves out there, they're putting their voices out there, Kristen says congratulations, and she enjoyed that the women sound, the young women sound like they're using their real voices, like they're not, you know, she says so often women are taught to speak more forcefully or deeper for fear that they won't be taken seriously, or softer for the ease of, in Kristen's words, weak men, or with that kind of, with the newscaster voice that everyone uses that makes you feel like they're a robot a little bit, like that they're, that the authenticity and the honesty is really working for Kristen. I think it's Kristen. Think so. There was, it was missing a T, but I think it's, I think maybe it's Kristen and not Krizen.
Yeah. Yeah. Who typed that?
Not me.
That would be me. Yeah. It's really cool. And of course they're all nervous too. And they hear like there were, I've trying to get the kids to not read reviews. First of all, I said, in general, you don't want to do it. If there's 1,000 good ones and 1 bad one, you're going to focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I've been doing this for a decade and I've developed a whole list of people who hate my guts. And those people are probably going to go onto your show and leave shitty reviews.
So stupid and lame. Don't do it, guys. Just leave it. Save it for Bob, please. Come on.
Right. But yeah, so like they're worried about some of that too. Like, what if I don't sound good? What if they're talking about the way, because they hear it, right? Some of them, they're listening. They're like, I sound like I'm reading a script. I'm like, well, you are reading a script. And this is the first time you've ever done it in your whole life.
That's a whole semester of a class. A whole semester of a class could be just vocal coaching for stuff like that. And that could be something that gets added down the line.
Yeah. You know, but like you said, it's real and it's authentic. And actually on that note, what would be really awesome, guys, is the podcast, as we mentioned, got all the way up to, so far this week, it's been up to rank number 37. Really would love to see him in the top 10. And what would really help that is if every single one of you went on the Underestimated podcast and left him a 5-star review. That would get him there. That would push him up there. So if you got 3 minutes, that would be great.
Doing it. I saw some people in the chat that already were on it. They're like, on it, doing it. Be right back.
Awesome.
So well done. And then, just some other congratulations from Cindy. Cindy's very interested in the Skelton Boys case. And of course, that is the episode that dropped today. And I'm really, really interested in what they've been able to do. And I can't wait to hear more. We all can't wait to hear more. So great work to the students and okay work to you.
That's all them. That's all them. I've taught very little in this class, I'm going to be honest. It's been a weird experience because of the fact that, you know, the other classes I'm teaching all day long. And in this one, it's a lot of, like you heard Gracie say, like the beginning of every class, what are you going to do to move your case forward today? It's intentionally student driven and I'm there for support is the way that the whole class is working or has worked. So, I give them all the credit for everything they've done. They've just done incredible work. They're incredible people. They're going to be amazing adults. And is that all we got, Janet?
That's what we got.
So, all right. I think we're going to go and wrap this thing up. Thank you guys so much. And also, as you're going to hear, I already recorded this week's episode on Monday in a moment of panic. For those of you that were on social media saw it, this has been a crazy week for me because of the fact that our girls basketball team is going back to the state championship, we hope. They're in semifinals tomorrow, which I would want to go because I have several of my students because I have primarily all girls in class. So I have many from that basketball team that have been like my kids this whole year. So I wouldn't miss it for the world. But also our advanced journalism class is filming it. So I got to be there every game with we're running 2 cameras and helping direct them and stuff.
Awesome.
So, but that means that's been every day this week, driving 3 to 6 hours, going to basketball games and just got a lot going on. So I had in a moment of panic, I just want to get you guys real excited for the fact that one of my bestest friends, who I love so much for doing this, when I realized on Monday at 3 p.m. that literally that was the only free evening I had to record an episode, and I really wanted to do a psychological, like a behavioral analysis of the Delphi Bridge Guy video that has been released just this week, I took a shot in the dark and I text Shiloh from the LA Not So Confidential podcast. And said, is there any chance you could come on and look at this with me and do a breakdown of it? And she said, yep. And 2 hours later, we were on the air doing it. That's the episode that's coming on Sunday. And for something I got to say that was thrown together in 2 hours of extreme panic, it's really good, really informative. Dr. Shiloh she's the best. She's brilliant. And I think she did a really good job. And this might be one of the first takes you get to listen to about the Delphi case from somebody that has no skin in the game, is not overly invested in the case, doesn't have an opinion on innocence or guilt, just looking at the facts and the data that we have that has come on this new piece of evidence. So that's coming up on Sunday. With that, we're going to let you guys know, and we'll talk to you next week on the follow-up. Bye, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production, co-written and produced by Erica Bergenham. Music for Season 15 is created and composed by Caden Ladislaw. Follow-up episodes are co-hosted by Janet Varney and Zach Weaver. Our logo font was created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. Our website is created, managed, and maintained by Katie Ross of createdintandem.com. Thank you to our volunteer transcription team, Erica Cantor, Kathy McElhaney, Courtney Wimberly, Kaywood Yomnick, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Athey, and Caroline Dwyer. Truth and Justice provides all investigative and advocacy work for the wrongfully convicted completely free of charge. We're able to do that in large part thanks to you, our listeners, through your generous pledges on Patreon. Patreon accounts for the overwhelming majority of our funding. The number one way you can support our work is to become a patron at patreon.com/truthandjustice. For just $5 a month, you'll get all episodes ad-free, a bonus pregame episode every Wednesday, and also a video version of the Friday follow-ups exclusive to our patrons. Patrons also get to participate and join the chat live in many of our interviews and get early access to much of our content. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It doesn't cost you a penny and goes a long way towards making the show more visible. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. You can always keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the official Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. You can also connect with us on social media platform X at Truth Justice Pod. And to follow our personal accounts on social media, I can be found at Bob Ruff Truth. Janet can be found at Janet Varney, and Zach is at Z to the Q. However you do it, stay engaged and stay in touch. But as for now, we're signing off. I'm Bob Ruff.
I'm Zach Weaver.
And I'm Janet Varney.
And this has been Truth and Justice.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.